Yo, coming into Friday. Friday's just hitting good today.
It is hitting good.
It really is. I'm ready to go. GM buyouts today. A town called Snailbrook and Army Ads and Bell Bottoms. What they have to do with one another.
The people really want to know. It's basically the same thing.
Like, are we going to see Bell Bottoms in an Army ad? I don't know. The Navy wears Bell Bottoms.
Real quick. So my kids are kind of at the ripe age for a little High School Musical action, especially my daughter.
Wait, the show? High School Musical or an actual High School Musical?
No. The Disney movie from the early, late 90s, early 2000s, something like that.
I remember this.
And I was like, oh my goodness, the fat baggy jeans and the polos and all the cargo pants. Like, I was like, that was a bad, you know, it's gonna, all of that stuff always comes back when that comes back. I'm gonna be like head over.
No, it's all coming back. It's all coming back. I mean, I look at like the jeans that like my teenage girls are wearing. I'm like, yeah, they're like, in my mind, I'm like, they're so not cool. But they're like, this is the coolest thing.
Right. I did that phase once.
I know. It's not what you think it is. Man, those MC Hammer pants come back, remember the button fly?
Oh, like, we're done. We're all done. Around.
Oh, okay. Well, all of you.
Oh, man, speaking of things that we're bringing back.
Whoa. Segway in the intro? How do you even do that?
In the intro to an announcement.
Go ahead.
So we, our social media team dreamed up this little fun thing. And of course, it's March Madness coming in hot with the basketball season. And look, we're marketers at heart. So we got to lean in to the season, right? And so we're doing a little thing called Motor Madness. If you check out our social profiles starting on Monday, we're going to be releasing this thing where we're pitting old antique vehicles, some classic stuff with the new stuff. And we're going to do a little bracket challenge. We'll have some polls on all of our social media profiles. We'll aggregate all that. We'll pick a winner. There's probably going to be some people that are happy, sad, mad, annoyed.
Yes, I hope so.
It's going to bring some comments all, you know, firing and all that type of stuff. So come alongside of us, join the journey. It'll be, you know, the second half of the month. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of pick what the winner is in the classic versus
the community. The community is going to get to pick the greatest car of all time. It's going to be an old car versus a new car. And we're going to see what everybody says. We have our friend Todd Caputo, Caputo on Cars, the used car king. Call him what you want. He's the one that helped curate the list, and we're going to have a lot of fun next week. He's going to talk about why he picked the cars. It's going to be a great time, right?
And you know, it's going to be a great time.
He said this when we were on the call yesterday. He was like, you know, he's like, it's very rare that you have to find someone who's really into the car business that isn't into cars. I know there are a lot of people that, like a growing number of people who are into people and not as much cars, right? They're like, I sell cars, but, you know, and you and I even are like, well, we're not real car people, but we really do appreciate
them. Yeah, I'm not like an into cars guy. But like, I can appreciate it.
There's
really
an
cool
affinity
car,
for it. So. And it was a ton of fun going through the list yesterday with him. And so you're all going to have a lot of fun. So, Motor Madness, come your way. Well,
just a couple of Chevys on the list.
Yeah, was he a Chevy dealer? We were like, we can't have all Chevys, Todd. Right? So, well, let us know what you think in the comments. Please be a part of the conversation. And we'll see. Maybe there'll be even a chance for a write-in. I don't know. Like a walk-on contestant.
There you go.
I don't know. We'll see. But speaking of things with motors.
Stop. Segway.
Time.
And Chevys.
Motors. That's right. Speaking of Chevys, too. No. Yesterday, General Motors announced it is working to avoid involuntary layoffs by paying people to leave. Yes, the company will be offering buyouts to white-collar salaried workers that have been with the company at least 5 years or more. They have until March 24th to accept a buyout offer, and then they'll officially leave the company on June 30th. These non-executives will receive 1 month of pay for every year that they serve the company, up to 12 months. So there you go. You can get up a year of severance if you've been with the company 12 years or more. Seems pretty generous. If you're an executive, you'll get, you know, base salary, incentives, health and placement services. If you decide that you are looking to go on to new opportunities, the move is expected to cost the company about $1.5 billion, but as part of GM's overall plan to cut $2 billion annually from its cost structure. In a memo sent to employee CEO Mary Barra, highlighted the bright side of things as she wrote, the voluntary separation program presents an opportunity to explore a new industry, make a career change, further a business, personal business venture. You got a side hustle? You want to turn into your real hustle? Or decide whether or not you can retire earlier. She forgot to put in like, or you can be that YouTube celebrity you always wanted to be. So
right, yeah, I appreciate the effort in the moving this into the voluntary piece of stuff, but it's quite clear that there's an involuntary nature to this, and I'm sure there's some shuffling and moving and making sure that some people are encouraged to find a new career path, right? It's an interesting way of spinning it, but I appreciate the effort to not just go, yeah, we sent you an email on Friday and on Monday you're not here kind of thing. Well, pack that, your boxes.
Right. So, I mean, that's obviously what's coming next, right? If they aren't able to cut the structure, this is, I think, the more empathetic way to do it. And I think it's a good PR move. It's a good person move.
Yep.
And so we'll see what happens. And I think I was thinking about this, like, what does it take for someone to take a buyout offer? And really, I think the people who are least committed to the future of the company are going to be the ones that take the buyout offer. So it's actually kind of a could
yeah, serve if as a good I, if you've kind of been tool. In a job, right? If you just been in a job, this is an opportunity to find a career.
Time to get
and
a UT,
here's right? the thing, like we've been this whole week is some different jobs reports, and there's job reports that are going to come out today, and it looks like the job market is still hot. So I think placement for a lot of these people is going to be a great opportunity within or outside of the automotive sector. And so, you know, kudos to them for doing it differently than a lot of the tech sector. And I'm a little giddy to see what all of these people do with their lives, because there might be some really cool stuff that comes out of it.
Yeah, or maybe you want to come dealer side.
Hey.
I'm trying to think of a great transition here, because
speaking of building moving, really cool stuff.
Okay, yeah, or moving to a new place.
Stop. So, moving
to a new place.
A reported plan is spinning as Elon Musk is building a town, but it's likely it's happening, building a town on a 35,000-acre plot just outside of Austin to offer affordable housing and services. The community name is Snailbrook, after the mascot of the Boring Company, who's Gary the Snail, actually, because it moves so slow. You know, it's very sarcastic. There's even a sign that is posted that features a snail. And it says Snailbrook, established 2021. The main purpose of the town is to provide affordable housing to Tesla and SpaceX employees. The 2 and 3 bedroom houses, they're modular homes. They will go for about $800 a month, which, if you live anywhere near Austin, you know that is very affordable compared to what you're going to get in Austin. They'll have access to, you know, like a community pool and outdoor athletic fields, fitness centers. There may also be a school or some daycare built on the property. And it'll also house a SpaceX warehouse and maybe a Tesla warehouse, I think. It's not the first time that Elon's been dreaming up this utopia of living and working and saving the universe. There was the name of the other one was way cooler, actually. It was called Starbase, right?
Yeah.
Near SpaceX launch facilities, about 5 hours away from Austin. But that's unclear if that's going to move forward, as most of those employees they were thinking about Starbase just took over the entire city of Boca Chica, Texas.
Yep. You know, well, first of all, let me just clarify. It's a 3,500 acre plot.
What did I say?
35,000. You said 1,000.
Right. Because that's the size of Disney. That's the size of Disney, actually. Right. Disney's 40,000. Exactly. 3,500.
Right. So 3,500 acre. But this is what's interesting about this and kind of like the narrative. I've kind of seen it milling around on a couple of different places. The narrative here is that this is some brand new thing that only Elon Musk could do. But this is actually how the majority of manufacturing happened in the early 1900s. Yeah. Actually, there's like literally I could almost throw a stone to it from my office, a place called Old Hickory, Tennessee. And Old Hickory was completely built, like the whole landscape. It was a city built to house like all of the employees for like one of the largest warehouses in Tennessee of the time. And it's a planned city. It has all of, you know, all the shopping and all the city center, all the amenities. It's all, you know, lined out. It's not a downtown city. It's very suburban. But that was a way that a lot of America got built, was we're going to bring manufacturing and we're going to give people a place to live close to it so that they can live, work and play close to the place that we need to. And I think that it's a genius move. Why wouldn't you do something like that? Especially if you're building in a place that maybe doesn't have a lot near it, to kind of like build this community around. And you think about like creating a community around the workplace.
That's a win. That's a win. I'm trying to think about, like, is this something I'd be into? I mean, obviously, like, $800 dollars a month versus, like, $2,500 a month is a very valuable proposition. Right. There is definitely that thing, like, it sounds so great, and I bet it is so great until just something doesn't work right, right? Like, if you have trouble at work or trouble with management or trouble with fellow employees, and all of a sudden, like, you all live in the same area, like,
sure,
there's, yeah. I mean, there's pros and cons. So I was thinking, like, would I get excited about this? I probably would for a while, and it'll probably be cool for a while. But, hey, you know what? I think we tie this back to the fact that if you work for a local car dealer, you already live in the community, right? You already, since we've been hanging out with Cirillo, I got the Italian thing going a little bit more these days. Okay, we got to transition to this last story.
Because speaking of things that have been hanging around for a while.
Stop. Segway. Time. Okay.
Paul, it's Friday. I got the weird on today for the segues.
Go ahead, hang with me, man. Tell the story.
Just like bell bottoms come back around every couple of decades, the Army is reviving its Be All You Can Be slogan, which if you've been around the marketing ecosystem, you know about. They've revealed some new visual designs in a brand new campaign featuring cinematic storytelling and Creed 3 star Jonathan Majors. The slogan originally was created in 1981 and ran all the way through 2000.
I grew up on that slogan.
It was
be
like
all you can be. It's like sing the jingle in your head. Be all that you can be.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and did a ton of marketing. Right. I mean, it was a hard push. You know, and so I think like that for one, the majority of people that are kind of entering the Army right now have probably never seen that advertising. No. You think about it. Like,
oh, no.
People that are entering or coming right out of college.
No way.
Were born around 2000. So have just not seen that campaign.
Yep.
So it's like brand new, fresh for a lot of people.
Hey, Isaac, I don't know if you can. The YouTube link is in there. I don't know how easy it is to pop that in and play some of the video. But the reality is that going through a major rebrand and recontextualizing the message, there are several things in here that really tie back to what we're doing in automotive. So basically, the video is, you know, the character walks through various time periods talking about obstacles versus possibilities. We didn't see the obstacles, we saw possibilities, and we pushed through. And then, check this out, Major General Alex Fink, Chief of Enterprise Marketing at the U.S. Army. First of all, I just think of like a chief marketing officer showing up in fatigues every day. Like, that's pretty bad. That's pretty cool, right? He told Ad Age that research tells us that youth seek out paths filled with possibilities of purpose, passion, community, and connection. However, they don't see the Army as an organization that can set them on those paths. So this possibilities campaign is a really great way to tie those things together. And I think if we literally can draw a straight line from this campaign to the automotive industry and saying that, do the youth of today see this industry as a path that provides purpose, possibility, community? I don't think so, but that's what we're fighting to change. And that's what every deal in this audience and in this industry can band together and collectively fight to change that, because we know that the industry has no floor. There's no ceiling, but there's also no floor. So there's possibility. We know that there's community here. Like, look at what we're doing right now. We're seeing more and more young folks be a part of the Isotto community. And so we know these things happen, but we have to be intentional about telling the story just a little bit better and a little more thorough.
Man, think about this. For the Army, this campaign isn't just a recruiting campaign. It's a brand build campaign. It's an affinity campaign.
Isaac, you can just roll that video with us on the side and just roll it in the background, no audio. It is. It's a brand build. It's a rebrand.
So if you think about that, and in the same straight line to auto, is how do we figure out how to build recruiting campaigns that actually lend themselves to brand build within service and sales?
Yes.
Because people begin to have affinity for the organization based on their recruiting.
Dude, that's so good. And let me tell you this too.
Go.
When it comes to brand building, brand building, like this brand builds for the Army, yes, but it also brand builds for serving your country, for all the Arm. I think all the Arm services benefit from this rebrand. And so as you approach branding or rebranding or you know, things like that, why don't we think about how do we rebrand automotive first and then our store second, right? And I think that that message is going to hit just a little bit better and a little bit cleaner. And yeah, I didn't expect to go that deep, but dude, that's the truth. That's the truth for a Friday.
That's the truth.
Hey, the bottom line is we're heading into all things used cars. Check it out on Clubhouse. We're going to be there at 9 a.m. Eastern in 3 minutes. It's Friday. When you approach today, think about how can I rebrand this industry for everyone that walks through this door?